Welcome to Dutch Bros Podcast. Hello, hello, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, all my friends out there, and some family. Hey, fam. What's up, fam? Today we are talking, we're continuing on in our how-to series, and we are going to be talking about how to be a leader and not a boss. And we brought our very own Kristen Von Tersch from Slay Falls. We brought her out here. Well, she actually came here volunteering her time. Thank you for that. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Less nervous now.
A little.
She freestyled like a champion earlier.
Mm-mm.
I honestly thought I was with...
P. Diddy?
No, the Queen Bee herself. What's her name? that one girl.
Queen Bee.
Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj.
Oh, what?
I was like, oh my gosh. It's the Queen Bee. But it was a Snapchat filter. And I was like, okay, this makes sense. Kristen, how are you doing? You're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your life. Let's go deep. Okay, how long have you been working for Dutch Bros?
Almost 10 years.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. 9 years, actually.
Just FYI for the boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, family and friends out there that don't know who you are our franchisee in Klamath Falls, a.k.a. K Falls, a.k.a. Slay Falls.
Yes.
How long have you been running the stands over there now?
As a franchisee, since January.
And prior, you were running it before you became a franchisee. You were running it as a company-owned store for a bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you started almost 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which stand did you work at?
I got hired. We have 5 stores in Klamath. Mm-hmm. And I got hired at the one we call Dollar Tree. And I think Holla Tree. So that's my original home stand. And I think I was like 19 or 20.
Holy moly.
Mm-hmm.
Time flies. Tell me about your whole like process of kind of working up to where you're at today.
Okay. Well, I had 2 jobs. I still worked for my grandparents. They owned a trucking company. They're brokers in Klamath Falls. And they've done that for like 30 years. It's a farm community. So yeah. That's what they do. Anyway, I worked for my grandparents.
Yeah.
And for Dutch Bros at the same time for like 4 years.
Yeah.
And she also has another business. So I did like fun, like paperwork and stuff like that and office work.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. Well, it was a great learning experience. Like,
oh, I bet.
I wouldn't ever take back the information or hands-on learning that I got from being in the office and just kind of thrown in with her. It was rad.
Okay, the first time I remember hearing about Kristen was from Kyle Garrett. He was like, oh yeah, I got this girl, basically, her name's Kristen, and she makes, actually, like, I have all these crazy ideas, and she makes sure that things happen. Because Kyle was the regional there for a while.
Yeah.
And you were kind of just like his assistant?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was rad. I was just in the stand, and one day we were hanging out, and they were like, so, you want to be the stand assistant? And I was like, yeah, rad. Fuck yeah. Let's do it. That'd be awesome. And then he just kept kind of, like, nonchalant, like, giving me more things to do.
Yeah.
And I think he was testing me to see, like, how much I would say yes to. So it was cool because I learned a lot and he just kept giving me stuff to do.
Giving me more things to do.
And then one day he was like, can you just be my assistant? I was like, all right.
Like, I kind of already have been doing that.
So I did like all the special events and Kyle's assistant and was the stand assistant manager for a little bit, like all kind of together for a while. And then just events and Kyle's assistant and then John's assistant.
And then you became the regional.
Mm-hmm. And then John moved, and then I got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you... can we silence our phones in here, rookies? Can we... this is like first rodeos. Hey, first rodeos, can we silence the phones? You guys are the greatest. Sorry, Kristen. Usually, like... Phil always loves to let his Tweedle go off in the middle. He's like, I just love Star Wars. He's like, come here, R2. Oh, you answer my text, R2. It's like, Philly Young, you're my only hope. You know, it's like, come on, man. Use the force. Turn that thing off. Getting back to it. Stepping out of the stands to kind of do the assistant work and all that stuff. How was that? Was that kind of an interesting transition, or were you kind of used to that because of you'd done some of that office work stuff with your grandma already?
Kind of both. I was kind of butthurt about it because I really wanted to be the stand manager, and Kyle just kept saying no. He's like, no, I have other plans for you. You're just more valuable, like, doing other stuff. And I didn't get it at first. I was like, whatever. You're being dumb. Like,
you're being mean. You just don't want me in the stands.
Why can't I manage? Like, I can do it and do this at the same time. But he was seeing more for the future, and he's pretty cool and wise. And so I guess I'm glad I listened to him instead of, like, arguing with him about it. But at first I was super bummed, and I didn't want to be out of the stand, like, a lot.
Yeah. So now you're running Slay Falls. How many employees do you have?
Like 84.
84.
Mm-hmm.
And five managers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you kind of act as the regional, or do you have?
Yeah, I am still like acting regional, but I have a full-time assistant.
And you pulled them out of the stands? Are they mad at you for that?
Yeah, I think she was. I think she was a little mad, but yeah, she's awesome. She was like out of the stands and doing like all the events, basically the same things that I was doing. But we recently needed to fill a manager spot. So she is like the proxy manager at that location.
Cool.
And my assistant. So she's nice. She's like superwoman.
So you have 84 people under you, and some of them are leaders that have their own crews,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we're talking about how to be a leader. So what is the difference between being a leader and being a boss?
We're all really close.
Yeah.
And our managers, they're not bosses. Like, there isn't anyone that fears our management team or is afraid to, like, talk to them about anything. And same for me. Like, everyone has my phone number, and they can call or text me for anything, like, anytime. Yeah. And I think that's a huge thing, is like, you have to be open and there. You have to be present and available. And I think that's one of the main differences, is like, a boss in my head seems like someone that is untouchable or out of the picture and kind of scary. And a leader is someone like with you, slaying shots and cleaning the gutters and everything, like, right by you all the time.
Yeah, there's that image. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I'm sure you have. It's like, and it says like, there's like, on the top it says boss, on the bottom it says leader, and the boss is like got a whip, and he's like whipping all the people, and they're like dragging everything, and he's like,
oh yeah,
they're dragging him along, and he's like whipping them, and then the leader is in the front, and he's like dragging everybody along with him, you know, and like the two difference. There is something about being available. Period. One of the things that like I've always heard that's kind of been a confusing part of what it is keeping your personal life personal. And it's like, well, when you're leading people, they're exposed to your personal life. You know what I mean? I think that's an important thing. It's not like you're like, well, yeah, you guys, let's all hang out, but not at my house. Like, that's my place. So let's go hang out in town, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not like that. We are at every woman's house, like, all the time.
Rotating.
Yeah.
I think part of being a leader is being a family.
Mm-hmm.
I have three daughters and a wife, and I lead my family. And the only way I'm able to lead my family is to be engaged with all of my family members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm not going to be able to lead my wife if I never see her or if I never talk to her, even though, like, sometimes it's hard to not boss. You know, how do you keep from being bossy?
Well, because of the family, we're all communicating and talking every day, all day long. We see each other pretty much every single day. So there's a vision that we all have as a town, as a stand, that we want to accomplish. And so if we're all communicating about where we're going, I think everything kind of just falls into place to get done, because we all know what we need to get done.
Yeah.
So
there's this common thread of like the vision's important. You all share it. One of the things that I feel like being the leader of it, my kids, they can't help but to leave the light on in the bathroom. They always leave the light on. Always, always, always. But it doesn't mean that I don't say, hey, guys, make sure you turn the light off. I'm not trying to sound hippity-dippity, but I'm just saying, like, I don't want to waste power. I don't want to waste energy. You know, turn the light off. But I have to always repeat it. And, like, every night, I have to tell my kids all the time, like, hey, it's time to brush your teeth. Usually, it's my wife, actually. Like, I can't take credit for that. Amber is the one that's like, hey, brush your teeth. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I guess I should too, right? You know, but, like, you have to repeat the vision over and over and over again. And sometimes, you know, like, it's easy to not necessarily forget it, but, like, just not think of it. So communications, it's a huge deal. Since you are the franchisee now, you're the one that's running the show, you're the leader of it. How do you delegate tasks to these people that are under you without it coming across as a bossy thing? Especially, you know, you'd mentioned that when you got pulled out of the stand to be assistant, you're kind of upset about it, but then you understood it. You're giving this person an opportunity to do something more, but when they don't see it, like, how do you make it come across good?
Well, if they don't see it or understand right away, that's fine, but that's on me. So obviously I'm not doing something well enough so that they trust me or understand that there's a reason why I made that choice. Like, I was bummed out about Kyle pulling me out of the stand, but I knew he had a reason and I trusted him fully, and I knew he was like doing all this stuff behind the scenes that nobody saw, and he couldn't do that on his own.
Yeah.
So
you said something that's very interesting. You said trust. You trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge part of leading people. It's like you have to get their trust. If they don't trust you, then you probably are a boss to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So if they weren't to trust me, then I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah.
That I should work harder with them or build them up to get where they need to be.
Well, sometimes it just isn't a good fit.
Yeah.
You know, like that, I think that's probably one of the harder things about leadership is having to make those tough calls. How do you do that? What do you do when it's time to do that?
Phone home.
Yeah.
Call people that I know that are going to balance how I'm feeling and my thoughts. I call Lance or I call Kyle or anyone to help me weigh everything.
Yeah.
To have a clear picture. Because sometimes, like, we're all human and our emotions get involved, and it's hard sometimes because we are so close as a family. Like, when we have to make those decisions, it sucks really bad.
Right. It hurts.
It hurts everyone.
Yeah.
Because those are our family. So,
yeah, I think that's probably a big piece of it too, is having to weigh in on the decision that's going to be made and seeking counsel, not only as the people that you're leading, humans, but you're one as well. I'm a super emotional person.
Me too.
Myself. And so I'll be like, you wronged me. And I'm like, bleep, blop, bloop. You know, I'm not, I get all R2-D2 on you. You know, I'm like,
freestyling, uh-huh. Like Phil.
Oh my gosh. So is there ever a time where you have to be a boss?
I think it's those hard decisions. Like when you have to make the call, it has to be like a fast decision. And so I have to follow my heart and my gut and make it. And sometimes the managers or something, they might disagree with my decision, but I have to do what I think is right for the city and the company's culture.
Yeah.
But it's all handled with love. Like, I wouldn't ever be like, oh, fuck off, get out of here.
What? Why not? Just kidding. That's one of the things of leadership, is that you're not going to get everybody to agree with you. But it doesn't mean that they're not following you or trusting you, you know, like, because sometimes you just disagree with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I disagree with Phil all the time. Oh, hey, how's lunch, Phil? He just barges in here with his lunch on his plate and he's like, I'm just gonna eat and crunch this salad. And
I'm so hungry.
I know, I am too. Cool, Phil. Hey, you know what they say, leaders eat last. Hey, Phil, how's your lunch? Okay, when you are the leader, you're the head of the show.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stay humble?
I'm humbled every single day. Like, I don't get to work in the stand as much, so my managers are faster than me. They know more stuff than me, and I'm like, dang, how did that happen? And I don't like being slow. But I learn so much from everyone every day. And everyone has something to give if you give them the time of day to learn. I don't ask people to do things that I'm not going to do. I'm going to be out there sweeping the parking lot every time I come up.
Yeah. I think always being a student is a big part of it, and always being willing. Willing to learn, willing to serve, willing to give, willing to do the things that other people necessarily don't like or enjoy doing.
Yeah, or just they just don't. That's fine.
What do you do to raise up other people or empower them and enable them to lead? You know, you have your managers that are leading crews themselves. What do you do for them? How do you pour into them so that they're pouring into others?
We have one-on-one dates. Like, for example, Josie Hamilton, she's amazing. Her and I, we go to this outdoor geothermal pool and we'll just swim back and forth laps.
Yeah.
And talk for like an hour or two. And then we get out of the pool and we have these like silly, gnarly one-piece tan lines, but we talk about everything, our personal relationships to the stand, to God, anything we need to talk about, and we share the same vision and love for the crew, and I trust her, and she trusts me. That's the biggest thing. I know she's not gonna do something that's harmful to anyone. I'm doing everything I can to serve her and be there for her as a friend and giving her all the tools necessary that I've gained from here.
Yeah. And you make it intimate with them so that you can pour into them. I mean, we've talked about it before on the podcast about like just mentoring people and really all that mentorship is, from my perspective of it, is that it's proximity, you know, because you're able to influence others by your actions and the things that you do, and they see that and they feel that, and to be able to not just be the one always talking, being able to listen to their heart and their dreams and their passions and their desires and their hopes, you know, and to be able to share that with them. Though, like a few years back, we built a house, my wife and I, and one of the reasons I wanted to do it, we had outgrown our other house with Violet when we had our youngest kid. And it was either we were going to remodel or we were going to build, you know, one of the two. To take on the challenge of building a home, which I never want to build a home again, by the way, you guys, that was gnarly. But to be able to do it was a way for me to show my kids, who are like, I want to mentor them more than anyone in the world, that you could do anything you wanted. You know, and of course, at the time, you know, Taya was only like 9 years old, and she's like, you know, starting to kind of grasp all of it, you know, a little bit, understanding that like this is taking a lot of effort and a lot of hard work and all this stuff. But to be able to share that with her and to pour that into her and tell her that you're capable of doing really whatever you wanted, let me show you. So to be an example to somebody, the only way you can be an example to somebody else is if they see you, if they see it, if they can feel it, you know. So I think that's an important part of it, is having those one-on-ones. Do you do that with all your management?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or do you ever do that with any of your just employees?
Mm-hmm. All the time. We hang out all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, we just got done camping for 4 days. So anyone that was able to come up just drove up to Lost Creek and stayed for the night or the day. It's just a different setting.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of just one-on-one, like, heart to hearts right by the campfire, and it was just really badass.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. Going back to building people up, I think it's important that they are good with themselves. And I think having that intimate relationship with people is good because you can connect with them on a different level to help them be good, like well balanced and happy.
What are some of the influences that you surround yourself with outside of your employees and outside of your friends?
I talk to Aaron Reznor a good amount, and Carrie Wall, and Britt Borsma.
Oh, yeah. Bert. I call her Bert.
Bert. But those ladies have all been so rad. Going from being Kyle's assistant and John's assistant, like there's my the dynamic of the friendships and stuff changed a little bit with the employees and the management from going from there to regional to franchisee. It's like there's lines.
Yeah. There's different weights that are carried to find someone that can relate to the pressures or the, you know, responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, yeah, I'm not going to talk to somebody that doesn't have any kids at all about parenting. You can get parenting
advice
from, you
know. I can give you great parenting advice.
Although, you know, I will say this, though, you know, they were hopefully raised by parents, so they do have something to say. Which, by the way, Kyle and Haley just had little baby Lennon, and she's mm-hmm. a cutie pie. So congratulations to you guys out there. That's awesome.
Whee! Congrats.
But when somebody has something that they're carrying, this responsibility, and to share it with somebody that doesn't can't understand it, it's hard. So having those other people outside that can kind of understand it and share that with you is pretty radical.
Yeah. And that's something actually Erin Reznor said to me. She's like, you should definitely reach out to me and these other ladies whenever you need to, because it's lonely where you are. Sometimes it can be.
Yeah.
Because you want to talk about things with people who have already experienced it, because they're going to help you and they're going to pour into you and they're going to be able to help you trickle that down to other people. So I thought that was rad. And they've always, always been there. Anytime I text or call them, they're always like,
yeah,
so down to help me.
That's awesome.
And just give me love.
But, good for them. Yeah. Thanks, ladies.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's important, because then it feeds you up, it fills you up, so that you can actually then pour that into your people, which is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
In a weird way, too, it's, you had mentioned it, and I'm not trying to pick on you, okay? But you're just not as fast as your current employees, right? But your management, your managers, they probably are. So they're going to be able to relate, and this is an interesting dynamic of it, but they're able to relate more to in-stand things
mm-hmm.
than you are anymore.
Yeah.
So it's important that
you... Still bums me out, though.
I know, right? No, listen, I worked on Drink One for Dane Day this last year, you know? And...
I did, too.
You think that you're slow, Kristen? Physical challenge, I tell you. I'm one of the slowest. But I'll tell you what, though, you know, I loved it. It's so fun, man. Working in the stands is such a radical thing. But when I worked in the stand, this is the greatest, was it was like, I just was an extra. I didn't come in on shift because I knew better. But I was just an extra, and they actually let me pull shots, which was rad, because I feel like I can still pull shots. May not be as fast as others, but I can still do it. It was cool because they loved just helping me. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, hey, man, we got that smoothie. I'm like, you're the best. I'm like, hey, dude, what's, I don't know how to do a blended Rebel exactly. Can you, like, they're like, we got it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it's like, what's this James Dean or something like that? Like, they just ordered a Golden Eagle. What is that? it was cool because, got to me to get to go back in the stands and see all that. But it also was like, it was cool for everybody. You know, it was fun. Like, they loved getting, they're like, dude, you should come by more often. I'm like, oh, man, okay. Like, even as slow as I was, like, they wanted me to come back. But I think that gets back to that just proximity and being there. And so it's important when you're at the top to pour into those that are under you so that they're pouring to those below them. And when I say below them, I'm not saying like, oh, on a hierarchy, but more of a like just a, there's a difference between experience and...
brand new?
Yeah. You know, there's a huge difference. Time really, it can teach you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Kristen... I do believe that you are one of our awesome leaders in the company. I'm sorry if I ever come across as a boss to you. If I'm boss, I feel like I've been a little bit bossy on the podcast, and I apologize.
Just making me freestyle was awkward.
Yeah, I know. I apologize for that. You did horrible, though. I'm not trying to.
I can't.
You really did bad.
I'm not a poet. I thought you knew it.
That was a really bad one, yeah. I'm not a poet. I thought you knew it. It's all right. You know what? I've seen worse poets.
Okay.
So art, that's the beauty of art, is that there's nothing, there's no such thing as bad art, you guys.
You know, it's a common misconception that poetry has to rhyme.
Yeah, mine just didn't, and it was beautiful.
And it was, like, unreal. It's like Jonah Jelly.
What is the deal with that?
Jonah basically loves blackberry jelly. And so I was like, Jonah Jelly. No, actually, I was at a Dave Ramsey event for jelly. Entree Leadership. And he was not there. So I just sent him Snapchats. Well, I just put it on my whole story because I'd rather just share it with everyone.
And you made shirts.
And, well, that was just a next level. But I started like going and seeing all these different sites in Dallas, and I would zoom in and out, and I'd be like, oh, look at this. What do you know? Oh, you know what that does? It makes Jonah. And it was Jonah jealous. Jonah jelly was saying another way of saying jealous, you know? So I was like, is it making Jonah jelly? Jonah jelly? Jonah jelly? And I'd zoom in and out. And I did that for a really long time. And then I started getting snaps back of people doing it to random things, saying Jonah jelly. And so at Coachapalooza, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make some shirts. So I had them at Dutchware. They took an image of him from his Instagram account. And then they put Jonah Jelly all over the back. Which sounds
weird. They nailed his hair. It looks great. They did.
His hair looks awesome. Mark is actually wearing the Jonah Jelly shirt right now. And there has been requests for it to be the shirt of the month. I don't believe it's going to be. But we are going to release it. A small amount of it, because it's just, yeah, it's a great shirt. Now everyone's jelly over Jonah Jelly. Actually, though, I am in the process of talking to, there's a local farm out here that makes jelly, and so I'm going to try to actually get some Jonah Jelly.
Blackberry?
Yeah, Blackberry.
Blackberry Jonah Jelly?
Blackberry Jonah Jelly. What's that? Jonah gets royalties on the daily. Only if we actually sell it. Anytime Lion King plays, anytime that Lion King plays, Jonah gets royalties. So, Simba. Actually, he looks more like Mufasa. Mufasa. All right, well, Kristen, thank you for coming out here and spending some time with us. You're here on the mic. Is there anything that you'd like to say to the Dutch Nation?
Just love on people, and I love you.
Dutch Nation, we love you guys, and we're proud of you. Make sure, you know what, a couple things, just a hit on for leadership right at the end here. If you want to lead and not boss people, I think that is one of the biggest things, is just love on them. By loving on them, you're going to bring them in proximity. You're going to listen to them. You're going to earn trust and give trust. So just love.
Love.
That's the difference between a leader and a boss. The leader will love you.
I feel loved.
Oh, me too. All right. We love you guys. Peace out, Dutch Nation. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.